AT&T Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Really appreciate Carlos, George, and their team at Bosque Home Services. I'm joined in studio now by our engineer, Steve Ryman. You hear Steve on the radio here at KNKT and daily from 3 o'clock till midnight. That's a long time, Steve.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy to get through because of the great programming.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
if you come along with us, one of the things I'll draw people to in that, 5:30, one of my favorite parts of the day, the verse of the day. It's a little short time spent in the Word of God, but you know what? Time together in the Word of God, how powerful is that?
People don't realize that the Bible is not just a book.
That's right.
The words are inspired, and Hebrews says that they're living and active, so they go inside you and they are alive.
Those who do realize it actually are rewarded for it.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, let me be transparent with the listener. We're waiting on a guest that's going to John Jones, right?
Yeah, John Jones with Life Quest.
And I know a lot of folks thinking of cage fighters coming in. That's not happening. John's done a great job with Life Quest, and we're looking forward to getting an update from them. But on occasion, Albuquerque traffic keeps people from being here exactly on time for a live radio show, and we're kind of filling the gap here. But we've got some great information for the listener, so this is kind of a bonus.
Steve, I will say this about Albuquerque. The shortest distance between any two points is covered with orange barrels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they bloom in the spring, just like the over here at Solomon's Porch that is about to start blooming. It's my favorite part of the spring, too. It's just beautiful and smells good. But anyway, I didn't tell you I was going to share this, and you may be upset when you see what I have to share, because there's information here that you'll probably want to use for the show.
Oh, sounds
good. Okay, and actually, as we talk, I want you to type this into your computer, nmnetlinks.com. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, Jim, you and I have been fortunate enough, and I thank God every day that through the pandemic, we've been fortunate enough to show up at work, whether it's here or it was at home, and work through the pandemic. And there's so many people, and I know there's people sitting at home getting checks and like, why should I go to work? I'm getting a check. Listen, the encouragement is let's get everyone back to work so we don't need stimulus checks. But enough of that said, the reason I brought up this website, nmnetlinks.com, I've had several friends that are looking for work, and I encourage them to go here on a monthly basis. Stacy Sacco, who, for those in the networking community in Albuquerque, know Stacy is someone you need to know if you're going to be networking in business. He's the president and CEO of Sacco Connections, and he's also the director of the UNM Small Business Institute. But on this website, nmnetlinks.com, every month you get a list of job openings, there's events, there's community connections, other activities that are like there's a link there, new to New Mexico. These are things for families to get out and do together. So you and I should probably look at this after the show.
Hey, Stephen, I want to make sure that people know, though, as you're talking about these things, they can go to knkt.com,
yep,
and they can click on the wire, and a lot of this information is available for them.
Well, often. Now, because some of the stuff on NMNetLinks, I'll tell you, .com, is there are things you need to pay to go to. Some of them are free. On the wire, which we should encourage people to use, not only to find events, but to let us know about, now that things are opening up and people are actually having events, if you go to knkt.com/events, you'll find the wire and a place to submit your free event. And then hear us talk about it right here on the air. We've been mentioning Hoffmantown's VBS coming up June 7th through the 11th, or the Fight for the House Apologetics course starting May 16th at Calvary Church. These are free events that can be attended. So there you go. We've done our stalling and given our friend John time to dodge the orange barrels and get in. And we appreciate everything he does at LifeQuest. We're going to hear all about it.
We are going to hear all about it. Hi, John Jones with LifeQuest.
Good afternoon. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, that's all right. You've had, we were talking about the shortest distance between any two points in Albuquerque being covered by orange barrels. I used to be able, I can remember driving in our fair city and you actually being able to predict this will take 10 minutes. I don't think that's possible now.
I think you're probably correct. But hey, that's what it takes to keep our roads in such excellent condition.
Hey, John, when we last visited, you were here. You were about to start the 413 journey. And for people that don't know what that includes kind of a wilderness excursion into the Grand Canyon. It includes some climbing walls and some other things. And here's my visual. My visual is that you're chasing Chris, your board chairman, all around this country, trying to keep up and all these young people. How's that going so far?
It's going great. We launched in March. We've had, I think, five in-class sessions, and we've taught on faith, integrity, compassion. We're just teaching these character qualities about what life looks like. And it's, we're bringing in speakers each session to talk to the kids about the, last week was resourcefulness, and one of Chris's staff, moved here from Costa Rica, a soccer player, and has talked about what it took to move from another country. English is a second language for him. And Adrian just did a tremendous job sharing with the young people. And then they break up into small groups and discuss what they've heard, and that's their chance to share, which I always feel like is the most important things, because I think young people today don't feel like they're being heard.
Well, John, I want to make sure you explain to our listeners, you've been on the show three or four times, Chris Youngblood, your board chairman, we talked about, you are the president and CEO of LifeQuest in Albuquerque. You have, up until COVID, really worked a lot with incarcerated at-risk youth, but you told us a couple months ago, right after the first of the year, that you've shifted the focus of your ministry from 80% focused on incarcerated youth to now focusing 80% to prevent kids from being incarcerated.
Exactly. And part of the reason for that is there's just a movement nationwide to not incarcerate youth, to not lock them up, which there's some very good things about that, and there's some very negative things about that. But when I moved here 8 years ago, to become LifeQuest's first full-time director, there were over 600 young people in state custody. As of last week, the population was 107. Mm-hmm. So not a lot of young people locked up. Now, we're still going to keep doing that. In fact, we're putting together right now, we're going to go down to John Paul Taylor in Las Cruces and present a three-day seminar called Ready for Life. We bring Scott Larson from Straight Ahead Ministries in Boston. He brings a couple of his guys in, and it's just three great days of intense time with these young men. And we're going to be doing that. We just got approval from CYFD that they're starting to reopen the facilities on a limited basis, but we'll be doing that in Las Cruces the end of June.
Now, is that facility in Las Cruces a place where youth are incarcerated?
Yes, exactly. Okay. There are three major detention centers for not county detention centers, or state detention centers, where kids can have anywhere from a one-year commitment to a two-year commitment to what's called a youthful offender sentence, which could be 5-6 years, because it's until they're 21. So a young person who's arrested and receives a youthful at 15. I'm mentoring a young man who just got out a couple months ago that was locked up from 15 to 21 years old. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, not a lot of life skills on how to navigate life. And even though we were meeting with him and working with him inside, life happens when you walk out the door. So I think it's so critical to be walking beside these young people. And you know, our conversation yesterday, because he's made some poor decisions, which, gee, imagine that. And I just told him, I said, look, real simply, Right now you're using your thinking. There's a reason the Bible tells us not to lean on our own understanding. And you need to start running everything through the God filter. You need to spend more time in the Word. You need to spend more time in prayer, because that's the answer to all of your questions. Mm-hmm. You'll find everything you need there. So, but not only with regards to the population lessening, it just breaks your heart to hear some of these young people's stories. So to be able to get to a young person, maybe before they take some wrong turns and go down some wrong paths, I love that idea.
Well, I'm thinking that there are parents or there are family members mm-hmm. of people that are at risk, that may have already gotten in trouble. I hate to use the word a little bit, but they've gotten in trouble.
Right.
And you may suspect that this person is on their way to being incarcerated, or maybe there's what you have used the term generational incarceration,
right.
Where that's just like the expectation of a family.
Mm-hmm.
So if you suspect that kind of thing is happening, can someone get in touch with you and say, look, can you talk with this young person?
Absolutely. Our hope is to launch 3 more classes in the fall. We're so excited about what's going on now and moving forward. But here's what I would say, Jim, and there may be some parents who don't like what I'm about to say, mm-hmm. but it's tough to be a young person today. And not just here in New Mexico, but I think throughout the country. Is there a youth that is not at risk today? Is there a youth that is between social media, the drug culture, just all of the landmines that are out there for these young people? Does that mean every youth is going to get in trouble? No, but every youth's going to be faced with difficult circumstances and difficult things to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is even the quote-unquote best kids are still at risk. They really are. It's a tough, tough world to grow up in, dealing with issues that you and I never dealt with. I mean, cyberbullying, what's that? Maybe some gossip at school when we were back in school. Somebody whispered something to somebody about somebody. But, you know, you can have your entire reputation destroyed online. You maybe have never even sat down and talked to the person. So it's a very different world these young people are growing up in. And the answer, I believe, sincerely, number one, first and foremost, is Jesus. Second, also having someone there to talk to. Because the truth is, a lot of youth are not talking to their parents. Mm. They're just not. And to be that safe place that a kid can call and you can give some objective feedback with is a good thing. It really is.
So, John, I'm hearing you say you need some people to help you.
Oh, do we ever? I think especially moving forward with 413, we're going to need more and more and more volunteers.
And before we talk about volunteering,
sure.
I want you to kind of explain 413, because I kind of highlighted some super fun things.
Right.
And trying to keep up with Chris Youngblood, I'm not sure that's a fun thing, but it is at least a challenge.
Right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more in depth about 413, the discipleship class, all that goes into that. And then I think there's going to be people that say, man, I'd like to join with you and help you in mentoring these kids. So we'll be right back with John Jones. He's the president and CEO of LifeQuest in Albuquerque. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. After Amer placed his faith in Christ, his family began treating him poorly, beating him, and even claiming he was insane. And when Amer published a video criticizing Islam, he was reported to the Jordanian authorities, causing all sorts of legal problems. With no other options available to him, Amer was forced to leave his hometown and eventually the country for his own safety. He told VOM workers, "My life changed when I followed Jesus. I can see that I am worshiping a living God, one who listens, loves, and doesn't scare people off." Pray Amer continues to find strength in his newfound relationship with Jesus.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence.
Nor will I let them serve alone.
To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians,
go to vomradio.net.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. You'll get none of the hocus pocus, hokey pokey stuff the other guys try to pull. So here's the deal. We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. Come see why others rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You know Proverbs 31, the go-to passage that describes the ideal Christian woman and wife. But let's be honest, that ideal can be as intimidating as it is inspiring. Here's Skip Heitzig with more.
Can I just tell you, it's exhausting to just read that, let alone how on earth women could you ever do that? Well, let me say, first of all, you can't do that in a day. He's not giving the 24-hour description of the virtuous wife. This is a woman over time.
Get to know some of the most incredible women in the Bible and in history with two inspiring resources. A six-message CD collection from Pastor Skip on prominent women in Scripture, plus the book Seven Women by best-selling author Eric Metaxas. This bundle is our thanks when you give $35 or more to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig.
Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
Call now to request these captivating resources as our thanks for your generous gift. 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call them at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Thank you to Ben Lucero and his team at Indigo Mortgage. John Jones with LifeQuest USA. They are a ministry to incarcerated youth. They're primarily a mentoring organization, would you say, John?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything we do is geared towards seeing a young person matched with an adult that will walk beside them.
And you haven't gone out and hand-selected the most successful kids in academia or athletics in a particular high school. You're actually loving on kids that have kind of separated themselves.
Well, and we'll take any kid that walks through the door. I mean, it's that simple. And because a big part of what we talk about is giving back, is so let's say we have a kid who's not going through a ton of struggles, who's being successful, good student, good athlete, whatever. What we hope we're going to be talking to them about and helping them see is, okay, you're going through this, but it's so you can help someone else someday. And my vision for LifeQuest down the road is to see the entire staff made up of former young people we've ministered to. Because who better, whether you've been incarcerated or whether you're just a sophomore in high school, what better young person to come in and talk about what life is like and how to navigate it and share some of the answers they've found?
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Tell us the kind of give us the overview of the 4:13 journey.
Sure. It's a 12-week program that is a weekly classroom setting where we talk about character traits. Some of the things I've already talked about, faith, perseverance, integrity, resourcefulness, et cetera, compassion. But then every other week, there will be an adventure. A couple of things you mentioned, rock climbing, rappelling, hiking, getting kids out where they're going to a one-day music camp called Rock 101, where in one day they'll learn to play an instrument and do a little concert at the end of the day. We're going out to a stables to teach them horse psychology and, but just to interact with the animals and to learn how to ride if they choose to. But it's just getting kids outdoors, getting young people out into nature, letting them connect and do a lot of things maybe they've never done before. And it culminates, any young person that completes the program, we have a capstone event, which is a Grand Canyon hike. Chris just came back from taking a group. It was his 49th time hiking the Grand Canyon. He's very familiar with it. He loves it. It's his favorite place on earth. And I just, young people are going to get experience things that maybe they never would have otherwise. But again, the hope is that every young person comes out at the end with a mentor, with someone walking beside them, with someone there to take a phone call when they're struggling or just to sit and talk. That's their friend. It's one of my favorite verses in scripture when Jesus says, "But I call you friend." I mean, how cool is that?
Yes.
That the Savior of the universe considers me his friend.
Yes. You know, I was telling you as we started the show today after our first break that I'm reading a book by one of our guests, a gentleman named Ben Corson. He has Hope Generation. He's a pastor of his dad's church that he started up in Idaho. And he's an amazing young man, dealt with manic depression and all kinds of issues. The church didn't handle that well. His dad was one of the top pastors, and his dad never walked away from him, always loved him, always was available, but thought that his son maybe rebelling in some way. But what he was really dealing with is some mental illness. Well, Ben is just a fabulous speaker now and spends a lot of time talking to young people like the people that you're talking about. Here's a quote from his book, and this came to mind when you talked about getting outdoors, getting into nature. He says in his book, "Jesus walked among the lilies and mustard seeds, looking up at the doves and the sparrow, and he spoke of these in his teaching. He was paying attention. He says the whole world is the temple of God, a place where we need to remove our shoes because we are treading on holy ground."
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think that so many times we walk by nature. We just walk right by it. We don't look at the flowers. We don't smell the flowers. We don't, you know, get the scent of the pine trees. I mean, there's just so much that we don't see. And I'm so excited that you guys are doing this. So now I want to get to those volunteers, people that are hearing this. They can come alongside you and work with you.
Right. And I hear this all the time. Well, I'm not qualified to do this. I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. And Jesus' last words before he ascended, right? "Go forth and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you." Okay? It's not the great suggestion. It's called the Great Commission, right? And we all have a part in that. And if you don't know how to disciple someone, if you've never done it before, if you don't know how to mentor someone, come see us. We'll teach you. And you're not going to do it perfectly. You're going to make mistakes, as we all do. But here's what I tell every young person that I mentor when they're like, "Oh, John, you're so busy. I don't know. I don't want to take up your time." And I'm like, "You don't understand. I'm going to get far more out of this than you are." And you can't outgive God, Jim. I don't care if it's in your tithe and offerings or if it's in your time or if it's in your effort to serve. Because, look, it starts with, very simply, love. Love your neighbors yourself. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if you come in with an attitude of love, a heart of love, to serve this young person, you're not going to fail. We promise you. And just as we hope the young person's calling you if they're struggling or have questions about life, it's okay to say, "You know what? I'm not sure I have the answer to that. Let me get back with you." And then give us a call. And maybe I'll have to pick up the phone and call my mentor and say, "What do you think?" But that's how it works. And that's the beauty of it. It becomes community. We've got another group called the 413 Family, which are a group of people that are supporting the efforts of the 413 journey with finding volunteers and helping to raise money and other things. So, but it is truly this family concept we want to see happen where, you know, I still talk back when I was with Youth for Christ 25 years ago, I still talk to so many of those young people today that now are parents and have their own children and are living life at, you know, they're, gosh, these young people are now 37, 38, 40 years old. Mm-hmm. But that the reason is not because I was their Youth for Christ director, was because I was their friend. Mm-hmm. And I cherish those relationships. And that's what I'd love to see happen at 413, is those long-term relationships built, because that's what life's about.
John, you have some firsthand experience with this. We're going to get in the second half hour a little more detail about your own life and your testimony, but you have some experience with the juvenile justice system.
I do.
Personally, but you also have a lot of experience in ministry with them. Can you kind of explain how it works?
Sure. Faith without works is dead. So if I go in and tell a young person, oh, you need Jesus, and they're like, okay.
Thanks for telling
me,
right?
What do I do now? I'm out. What am I supposed to do? So just as years ago, a gentleman came into my life and walked beside me, and as I laughingly say all the time, he loved me enough to hurt my feelings, and my feelings needed hurt, trust me. But he just told me some truth, but I was willing to accept the truth because he had proven that he loved me. And I'm a firm believer that love plows the field of the hard heart so seeds of truth can be planted. I think a lot of times you can, you know, Wiersbe, one of my favorite quotes by Warren Wiersbe, he says, love without truth is just sweet sentimentality, but truth without love is cruel. And I think sometimes without meaning to, we can beat people up with the truth that they're just not ready to hear, that they can't hear, that it's maybe there's a reason Jesus used to say, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, when they ask him why he spoke in parables, he said, you know, do you have been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven? But they couldn't hear that simple truth at that point in time. So learning how to share with a young person, learning how to walk beside a young person, that's a skill. We all need to be taught how to do that, just as someone taught me and just as someone taught my teacher.
Yeah.
That's life.
How would you find out about somebody? I have a friend of mine. She found quite a bit of cash and some drugs on her son in his room in a bag when he was 16 years old, knew that he was dealing drugs, maybe selling some opioids or some other type of things. And she knew, based on the juvenile justice system, that if he was arrested, that would actually be expunged from his record if he didn't do anything for so many months afterwards. Well, she actually risked that whole relationship in reporting him to the authorities, and it actually worked in that he was scared out of that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that he was discipled or had people come into his life, because he kind of cut off, you know, talking with his mother, which was heartbreaking to her. But I think that even today, she doesn't regret having done what she did to keep him out of that lifestyle. And again, I want to go back to people that are friends and family and even parents that are desperate. They can call LifeQuest and maybe try to plug in a young person into your mentoring program.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer that motive is everything, not what you're doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? And each situation is unique. Each young person is different. If I'm a young person that grew up in a home where dealing drugs, going to jail was a natural part of life, it's one thing we train our volunteers. You can't bring your normal into this situation because it's not the kid's normal so often. And to listen to a young person, not about what they're doing, but why are you doing what you're doing? If maybe what a young person thinks they've heard growing up as well, it's all about making money. It's getting lots of money and being successful, and that's what it's about. You can make a lot of money dealing drugs. Maybe that's why you're doing it. And at some level, you may consider the fact that it's illegal and that it could end me up in jail. But trust me when I tell you, most young people never, there's kind of this old mantra of, well, but it'll never happen to me. And whether that's jail, whether that's being shot and killed, whatever it might be, I think most young people see themselves as immortal. You know, that's not going to happen to me. And unfortunately, we bury way too many young people having that thought.
Well, along the lines of training here, when we come back after the break, I want to ask you about maybe some signs that people might notice in a young person's life that might lead them to think, gee, maybe there's some drug involvement. There's some other symptoms that, you know, they could be aware of and
sure.
start to recognize that someone is really putting themselves at risk. John Jones is the president and CEO of LifeQuest in Albuquerque, LifeQuestUSA.org is the website. You can find out a lot more about them. There's a couple of different LifeQuests, so make sure that you put in LifeQuestUSA.org. Ministry's been around for a number of years in New Mexico. They're doing some great work. We'll be back with John Jones right after these messages.
The same old mistakes. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. Do you remember when your coach would throw his biggest tantrums, stomping his foot, raising his voice, and pinching off his blood supply so that his face would turn purple? My coach would do that when we would make the same old mistakes. In football, it's blocking assignments or snap counts. Name the sport and you can name the same old mistakes that set the coach into orbit. What I've found in my life is that when I forsake some simple fundamentals like getting enough sleep, spending time in prayer and scripture study, and having time for my family, I make the same old mistakes that cost me. I end up being short with my wife, frustrated with my kids, and rude to my colleagues. Here's a simple principle that we need to employ. Take a Sabbath. If God rested after His work, we should as well. Genesis chapter 2 verse 3 says, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He'd done in creation."
Roger's devotional, A Minute of Vision for Men, is available for pre-order at visionforlife.org.
Here's our host, Rob West, with a MoneyWise Minute.
The Lord can use a difficult situation in your life as an avenue to bring you great blessings. That sounds counterintuitive, but take, for example, the situation of losing your job. What good could come of that? Well, for one thing, it'll probably help your prayer life. We tend to get much more serious about prayer when we're desperate. For another thing, a job loss may, if a husband and wife are both humble and supportive, bring a couple closer together. Going through adversity with someone tends to deepen a relationship. No one wants trouble, but if and when it happens, ask God to use it to bless you in ways that make you a better and more mature follower of Jesus. That's just the sort of prayer He delights to answer.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100. Or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Was fortunate to have Holly on the show yesterday, and Holly is also the president and founder of Feed New Mexico Kids, feeding kids on the weekend. There's so many amazing ministries that are doing things for children, but as the Bible says, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few,
yes.
And so we're trying to appeal to people. John, not just to come alongside of you financially. We're always letting people know about what I call opportunities to support ministry.
Sure.
But I also want people to understand the opportunity, and you said this earlier, you're going to get more out of this ministry than one of the kids that you're mentoring.
Always, always.
So tell us about some of the young people you have in the 413. You just started the program here 3-4 weeks ago. Tell us about some of the backgrounds of the kids and how you train volunteers to be part of this.
Well, and training of volunteers is just because it's so easy as you get older to kind of lose touch with the younger generation. And I think this has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands of years. We were just talking yesterday a volunteer and I about the fact that if you think of just, what, we're 2021, so maybe 150 years ago, there were no cell phones, there were no computers, you probably didn't even have electricity. Any young person woke up and they spent the entire day with family and they walked beside their mom and dad and they not only heard, but they saw life lived out. And before the Industrial Revolution, that's how young men learned a profession was, you know, they learned how to, whether it was be a blacksmith or whatever it was that dad did, they would go and do it with him. And they not only learned a profession, but they learned life. And the same with, you know, with the girls, what mom baking, mom sewing, whatever, before moms went off to work. And, but it's obviously different today. And since the Industrial Revolution, when all of a sudden parents were going off to work, and as time went on, so often so many, both parents went off to work, where are the kids learning about life? And it's a question I always ask a young person is like, okay, if you start school when you're five in kindergarten and you go all the way through high school, you've gone to school for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And if you go into college, you've been in college now for 17 years, in school for 17 years. And if you go on to get your professional degree, you could be there up to 20 years. And you learn math and you learn history and you learn English and they teach courses now. I don't even know what they mean. Mm-hmm. But who teaches you to live life? And doesn't that seem to be far more important? Not that Columbus discovering America in 1492 isn't important, but compared to I'm having a severe argument and disagreement with a friend, how do I navigate that? How do I get over it? Or this person has hurt me deeply. How do I respond to that and what do I do with that? Aren't those life lessons and those life issues far more important than any facts from 1,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. So we just assume people are supposed to know how to live life. Mm-hmm. I was 38 years old when a gentleman looked me in the eye and said, so John, everything you know about living life successfully has brought you into a room full of drunks and junkies begging for help. How's your life working? How are you doing? Everything you know about living life successfully brought you here. So maybe you better admit you don't know anything. And Jim, I'll tell you, it was hard to grow up at 38 years old, but but I'm just grateful there were some people that were willing to help me do that. In fact, I don't, other than the fact that God with his infinite sense of humor, called me into full-time ministry. Let me tell you the other reason I do what I do today. If your listeners have heard me before, they know I came out of a long-term addiction, took me to jail, suicide attempts, all these things. So a gentleman comes alongside me, and after he'd been walking beside me about 6 months, one night we were having coffee and I looked at him. His name was Barry. I said, Barry, what do you want from me? And he said, what do you mean, John? And I said, look, nobody does something for nothing. I said, you take my calls at all hours of day or night. You give up time with your wife and children like tonight to sit and have coffee with me. I said, you left work to come to court with me. You gave up money. Nobody does something for nothing. What do you want? And Jimmy smiled at me and he said, there is something I want from you. And I thought, I knew it. Here it comes. He said, John, I want you to do this for somebody else someday. I want you to freely give away what you've been freely given. And I've never forgotten that. That broke my heart that night. That this was about, and it's funny because I didn't know it till I read it later on. 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we can comfort others with that same comfort we've received. I think a lot of times we get into the, ooh, I'm going to get this from God. But like, I believe everything we are given from God, we're just to be a vessel to give it away to others. It's a place for it to flow through us. And that's why when we were talking about volunteers earlier, everyone listening today has a story. And every story has value. And your story may be far different from mine, but I promise you there is a kid out there it will connect with. And I think we do a pretty good job of matching volunteers with kids, or it just happens organically. God brings them together to where, because like this first class, these are not juvenile justice kids in our 413 journey class. These are kids that you walk into a high school, you're going to see walking down the high hallway. They're quote unquote normal kids, but they're very much dealing with life issues. So I promise your listeners, if they have a heart to serve and they're not sure where and they're not sure how, come sit down and talk to me. Just give me a call. Go to our website, fill out the information. We'll sit down with you. And we're very conscious. I've told a number of people who wanted to volunteer in juvenile justice, look, this is not a good fit for you. This would, because if there's a lot of people that want to save people, and and you can't save our kids. You love them, you walk beside them, you point them to Jesus. Only Jesus saves, right? So anyway, I babbled on enough. Sorry.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about the self-image that John Jones, the drug addict, had, and John Jones, the ministry leader, now has.
That's a funny thought. I tell people all the time, the first 38 years of my life, I spent every day trying to make myself happy, trying to find what this thing called life was all about. And when I finally surrendered, and this was kind of how my first prayer of surrender went, Jim, I said, okay, God, if I've got to live this dull, boring life you've got planned for me, if that's the only way I can live, I guess I'll do it. Quite the willing prayer of surrender, huh, Jim? But I will tell you, one thing I've come to learn over the years is God loves an honest prayer, and that's the best I had to give at that moment. Life has certainly been anything except dull and boring. And what I have found, what I believe, is the secret to life. And I believe the secret to life is very simple. I was created to love and to serve, because those two words are interchangeable, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Could I not say serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Love your neighbor as yourself. Could I not say serve your neighbor as yourself? Because once I started serving, there was a joy that was indescribable. And I think it was G.K. Chesterton who said, Christianity has never been tried and found wanting. It's simply been found difficult and rarely tried. And look, we all have, and I believe the enemy's very active in this. Oh, I don't have time to do that. Who's got time? I'm busy with all these other things. I don't have time to serve. I don't have time to volunteer. And look, I get there's a lot of really busy people out there. But I will tell you, just like you can't outgive God with your money, you can't outgive him with your time too. It started amazing me once I developed this heart to serve and started serving. I don't know how I got more hours in the week, but I did. It just seemed to work. And if there is anything more rewarding and more valuable than getting to be a part of watching a person's life change, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
To see, and it's not because I change it. Only God does that. But to get to be a part of the journey, to walk with them, love them, encourage them, and continue always to point them to Jesus, there's nothing better. There just isn't.
Yes. John, we know how easy it is via the internet to access things that are bad for us. I think that you can access sexually oriented materials. You can, there's contrary messages of every kind. There's social media bullying. There's all kinds of things there. But I want to ask you, not having a lot of experience with drugs, how easy is it for a young person to get involved with drugs?
I guarantee you that without knowing where I was going, if I left here within 10 minutes, I could find pretty much anything I wanted. And for young people, everybody in the school knows who the local pot dealer is, who's got pills, who's got, it's not hard at all if they decide to go that direction. So the issue's really not are there drugs available, or can I buy them, or can I find them? Because they are there. You've got to make a conscious choice. I do not want to go down that road. And here's the other thing, Jim, and this is what a lot of people don't understand. Fear rarely keeps people from doing something. There is such a thing as a healthy fear, right? Don't put your hand on the hot stove. You're going to get burnt. But eventually, the enemy, which is constantly in your ear, your peers, depending on who you're hanging out with, and the culture. I mean, we just legalized marijuana in New Mexico, correct?
Yes.
There's been the debate over the years, oh, it's a gateway drug. Is it a gateway drug? And it's like, everybody I know, and I know a lot of drug addicts, trust me, both that are clean and sober now and that are not, all started with marijuana, every single one of them. So to say, that you'll never go to anything harder, you can just do that. Well, I don't know of anyone that's the case, but maybe there's people out there. I don't know.
Well, they say that the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And it's like our politicians use that as an excuse to legalize everything. Oh, it's going to produce all this revenue. Oh, it's not as bad as drinking. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. There's just all kinds of these justifications. But they're rarely willing to listen to actual data and actual life experience. I know that every state in the country that has legalized marijuana right now has an increase in DUIs.
Right.
Well, of course, New Mexico has got to be one of the highest states in the country for DUIs. We finally had declining DUIs over the last 5 or 6 years. Well, guess what's going to happen now?
Well, I think the other thing, especially with young people, is they see the hypocrisy. I mean, alcohol is one of the leading killers in the United States. That's a fact. There's no argument about it. So, well, if that's legal, why isn't this legal? And it's a fair question, Jim. I mean, and there is some hypocrisy there, and nicotine, cigarettes, we keep taxing it. And, I smoked from the time I was 18 till I was 38. I smoked during college when I played football. Go figure that out. we know what smoking does. You get lung cancer. You get emphysema. You die. But it's legal. You can walk into a gas station and buy cigarettes right now. So there's a lot of confusing hypocrisy within our legal system. I think no one would disagree with that. It's God gave us free will. That's part of the hard thing out there. And to answer, that's my answer to a lot of questions I get from young people. God gave you free will. He loves you enough to let you go down the path you choose.
John Jones, he's the president and CEO of LifeQuest here in Albuquerque. LifeQuestUSA.org is their website. Volunteers sign up or are available on the website. Donations could be made there securely. One more segment with John Jones. We'll hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
Years ago, there was a slogan, life is short, play hard. King Solomon's slogan was, I'm in charge, pray hard. Listen to Skip Heitzig.
Solomon is feeling the weight, the leadership weight of his dad's kingdom upon his shoulders. And he realizes, look, I need wisdom to know how to handle these people and make decisions.
And God granted him two important things.
God gave him a vast breadth of understanding. An unusual amount of understanding and wisdom. So Solomon ruled with both his head and his heart.
Access Skip's entire teaching library at connectwithskip.com.
If you just rule with your head, if you've got all brains but no heart, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. It edifies.
Add the Connect with Skip high-tech Alexa skill to your Amazon device.
A balanced person has both brains and heart. Paul said, if I have all knowledge, but I have not love, I am nothing.
Going to church is a great way to learn about God, but what if you want to learn more? What if you want to go deeper? Calvary College offers classes in biblical studies, classes like Theopoetics, the life and lessons of C.S. Lewis. Learn more about God and the Bible on your schedule. Take evening classes on campus or online. An education from Calvary College will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Apply now at calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
LifeQuest USA in Albuquerque is a ministry to incarcerated and at-risk youth throughout New Mexico. If you need to get in touch with John Jones, maybe you've got a heart now to possibly volunteer, go to lifequestusa.org. You have to fill out an application and be a volunteer, but there's some training and some other things involved. How else can they get in touch with you? Can they give you a call, John?
Oh, absolutely. Area code 505-341-9383. You'll get to talk to the lovely Esther, who is my right hand at LifeQuest, or you might get Cleo, who's our female program manager, or if no one answers, just leave a message. We'll get back in touch with you.
So June 7th, you're having a fundraising golf tournament. Now, I purposely don't play in golf tournaments because the golf police would want to incarcerate me because of my bad play. Tell us about your golf tournament.
This is our eighth year. It's the eighth year for the LifeQuest Charity Golf Classic. We anticipate, based on signups already, this will be our biggest and most productive year so far. We're anticipating we'll have approximately 200 golfers this year, raise close to $100,000 for the ministry. And that's because we've got such wonderful sponsors in the community and people who get involved. But we've still got some spots available. You can call the office to sign up. You can go sign up on our website. We'd love to get some new faces because this golf tournament, yes, it's a fundraiser, but it's become so much more a friend-raiser for us. We have found volunteers and companies that want to get involved and through this tournament. And, you know, you'll meet some of our kids out on the course that are there volunteering and serving that day. We need volunteers for that day. And that's what, if someone truly, if they're like, I just don't have the time to work with a kid, that's a lot of, you know, that's just time I don't have, but I'd still like to help. You can come out and volunteer for a day, maybe come in the office, help stuff envelopes, deliver our newsletter. We have lots of places you can serve. So just get in touch with us.
This is going to help you break the pattern of generational incarceration. Explain that term.
Sure. It's what we were talking about earlier is our young people, the majority of young people we work with in juvenile justice are not afraid of going to prison. They've been going to jails and prisons since they were young, visiting mom, dad, aunt, uncle, brother, sister. It's a normal part of their life. So being out doing things that could get you locked up, it never even crosses their mind. I mean, for many of your listeners, there's like, that's crazy. Who thinks that way? But think about it. If that's how you were raised, if that's all you saw growing up, you know what you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's so cool when we get to see a young person come to Jesus in a very real way. Repent. The word simply means turn and go the other direction, right? Mm-hmm. And to see a young person repent, to see him come to Jesus, we're now not just talking about that young person's life changing, but when they get married, their kids' lives changing and their kids' kids' lives changing. That's how you break the cycle of generational incarceration. My brother's an attorney in Arizona. We were talking the other day and he said, how do you not get hopeless? He said, because I shared with him, I think now the number since I've been in New Mexico is like 30 young people that have been in our ministry that have died. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking. You know, kids that we see, they go out, they come back, they go. But again, I don't change anyone. That's God's job. I keep loving them, keep encouraging them, keep speaking into their lives. That's our job. But in answer to his question, he said, how do you do this? How do you keep doing it? And I said, the answer is very simple. The way we change things is one kid at a time, one adult at a time. You come alongside someone, you pour into them, you see their life change, you teach them not to just receive it, but also to give it away, to freely give away what they've been freely given. And then it becomes exponential. One person becomes two, that becomes four, that becomes eight, that becomes 16. And if we were doing that, Jim, if we were truly doing that, if the church was doing that in Albuquerque, in New Mexico, in the United States, we wouldn't be seeing what we're seeing today. And we've got to start taking that, go forth and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. When we start taking that seriously, we'll start seeing things change. But my responsibility is that young man or young woman God put in front of me. I'm not responsible for the world. I'm not responsible for the state. I'm not responsible for the city. But I am responsible to pour into this young person. Now, what they do with it, that's not up to me. That's up to them. And we have to understand that. I do not change. But at the end of the day, can I say, to the best of my ability, I've loved this young person and tried to go forth and make a disciple, teaching them to obey all that I've been commanded.
You know, with all the social unrest in the United States and talking about, you know, different bigotries and different discriminatory practices and, you know, killing people for no other reason than race and rebelling against a person for whatever reason it might be that has no basis, how often is substance abuse part of the problem that people face when it comes to these situations?
I think it's fair to say that all crime can directly attribute 85 to 90% directly to drug abuse, whether it's sales, whether it's using, because I tell people all the time, when I went into a drug treatment center at the age of 36, which, by the way, my coming up on my sobriety date, in fact, next month, 27 years, I'll be clean and sober, but through the grace of God. But it took me 2 years from setting foot in a treatment center to actually get and keep sobriety. So I've had to learn.
Is being enslaved by a substance different from a black person than it is for a white person?
Absolutely not. Enslavement's enslavement, and you can be enslaved to a lot of different things. And this is what I tell people: look, God wants you free, free. The only to be enslaved to Him voluntarily by choice. But there is, you know, I had this conversation with a therapist in a juvenile facility that when they She asked if I would come to a recovery group, and I said I'd be happy to, but I'm going to teach them some things exactly opposite of what you're teaching them. And she said, can you give me an example? And I said, yes, you teach these kids they have to look out for their triggers. And I said, yes, early on we tell people you need to change your playground and playmates. You don't want to go places and be around people that you got high with, that you use with. But if you teach them that the rest of their life they have to be on guard against their triggers, you're just teaching them to live in fear, and that's just another form of enslavement. That's not God's desire. God's desire is for us to be free. And I learned this. It was interesting. I was sponsoring a guy in one of the recovery programs and went over to his place one day. I knew he was really struggling, knocked on the door, walked in, and here's a quarter ounce of a rock of cocaine and a fifth of vodka sitting on the table in front of him. And I picked up the rock, and he's like, I know I need God. And I'm like, this is your God. I said, let's flush this. Let's get you over to detox and start over again. And, oh, I'm not ready. I'm like, okay, call me when you're ready. But as I'm walking back to my car, see, I'm not supposed to be able to do that, right? I'm supposed to be enslaved. I'm supposed to, oh, that should have set me off. And it was the first time God showed me, you have nothing to fear, John. You're healed. You're well. You don't need to fear this anymore. It was awesome.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.